Several Alaskans were near the finish line of the Boston Marathon when two bombs exploded in the crowded finish area. No Alaskans are known to be among the three people killed and the 150 others who were injured. 41 Alaskans were registered to run yesterday's race, and many had family members there to cheer them on. Anchorage resident Heather Afton finished the race about 15 minutes before the bombs exploded. She was just a few blocks away when she heard the explosions.
Right away, I knew something was wrong. It was that kind of sound where you knew it was big, and I instantly knew something was wrong. I thought of 9/11.
It was Afton's dream to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which only allows runners with fast marathon times to enter. She said she felt elation for 15 minutes after she finished, but everything changed the instant that she heard the first explosion.
My trip down those 26 miles was just one long party, and so many people put everything they had into it today, and it just is so heartbreaking. And I guess because of that, I'm just feeling anger and rage at the whole thing that was tainted.
64-year-old Kodiak resident Howard Valley finished his race roughly 40 minutes before the blast and said he was walking away from the area when he heard the explosions.
It wasn't like a propane tank or anything like that going off the, in Kodiak at times. It was quite obviously a large explosion of some type. I didn't know what it was until about half an hour later when I got inside a hotel and was watching the TV.
Valley said it took him about 4 hours to get out of the city to the bed and breakfast where he was staying in Newtown, Massachusetts. He had to use alternate train and bus routes because transportation was shut down near the course. 46-year-old Brent Cunningham of Sitka crossed the finish line about a half hour before the explosions. He said he and his wife Karen and a daughter were just a few blocks away.
We were all like, looked at each other like, was that an explosion? And then a second one went off, and it was like, that sure sounds like an explosion.
So you kind of go, what was that? But you couldn't see anything, so it was like, huh.
You started seeing the, the police officers and firefighters, some of them heading to their cars to get out of there. Saw a few Boston Marathon officials running, and that was kind of my first clue that, okay, something's happened.
All of a sudden, it's madness. Sirens and fire trucks, and it's like, uh-oh, what's happened?
5 minutes later, I heard someone say there was an explosion at the finish line, and it was in passing, so I thought maybe they were joking, and then a few minutes later ran into a couple who had, a mom and a daughter, who had witnessed the explosion.
And then it was kind of surreal because we're all of a sudden running into all these folks. We'd walked so far who were, before the finish line. We'd walked all the way back, and then there are all these thousands of runners with bibs. They're running bibs, but none of them are wearing medals because they never finished. Many of them were like at mile 25, 26, when all of a sudden they couldn't run anymore because of what had happened.
My first thought is I was thankful that Brent had finished the race and we had found him and we were all together. My 17-year-old daughter's with us, and so it was nice to know we were together. And then your second thought is you're just deeply saddened for those who were at the finish line. There's the grandstands there, and those who are injured, you just hope and pray for those in that situation, the victims and their families, and pray for those who are trying to connect with their families. Most runners don't run with cell phones.
Brent Cunningham finished the Boston Marathon about a half hour before the explosions. The Cunningham family is scheduled to return to Alaska today. Juno physician John Burcell finished the marathon just 38 seconds under 3 hours. His wife Jamie was also at the scene to watch him race. We talked to him just a few hours after the explosions.
Yeah, we'd gone through the finish line and we're in the hotel room when the explosions went off. Jamie actually heard the explosions, and we heard the ambulances and fire trucks respond.
I'm not quite sure what the geography there of the finish line and what happened there, but as you finished the race, did you pass by the scene where the devices did go off?
Yeah, the explosions took place just a few feet before the finish line, so all the finishers ran right by that spot. My wife Jamie was watching the race, and at one point was real close to where the first explosion went off. Yeah, at that time, she said it was crowded with people right at the finish line.
Take it you didn't see anything or have any sort of hint that something was about to happen there or didn't see anything suspicious, did you?
No, I had no clue. Yeah, we didn't know anything had even what was going to happen. And then after it happened, a friend actually called us from Texas and told us to turn on the TV. So we didn't know what was going on until then.
What made you decide to leave the finish line, both you and your wife, what made you both decide to leave when you did?
Well, it's fairly cool out and windy, and I was ready to get back to the hotel room and get in some dry clothes and take a shower, which is what I was just doing when the explosions went off.
What's your impressions of the scene right now? Is it fairly chaotic there?
For over an hour, we had frequent sirens from police cars and fire trucks driving by, but that's calmed down. We're about 5 blocks away from the site. It kind of looks like normal outside. People walking around on the sidewalk and in Boston Common. I guess they have the area blocked off, so you can't go up near the finish line now.
I know it has nothing to do with, or very little to do with, what is happening at the moment. But how did you do with your race?
Well, the race was a little rough. The second half of the race was fairly hard for me after the all the downhills in the beginning that kind of tore up my quads and made the second half difficult. But it was great to run the race, and I've been looking forward to that for a long time.
How many times have you run the Boston Marathon?
That's my first Boston Marathon.
Is your wife a marathoner as well?
She is.
Has she run the Boston Marathon before?
Not yet. One of these days.
Is something like this going to deter you from participating in this again or in later years?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it will. I think that we still would participate in, you know, a destination marathon like this occasionally or other big events.
That's Juneau physician John Bursell, who specializes in physical and rehabilitation medicine. He says he and his wife, Jamie, were asked to stay put in their hotel for last night. They plan to return to Alaska today. The prices of all commodities took a major drop yesterday, and this morning Brent crude oil is at $99.94 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate is at $88.50 a barrel. Gold is bouncing a little bit after yesterday's big plummet, currently at $1,375 an ounce. Silver is also up slightly at $23.39 an ounce. Two former realtors have been arraigned on charges that they stole funds from clients. 62-year-old Robert Ziegler of Ketchikan and 62-year-old Roger Stone of Seattle were arraigned Friday in Ketchikan Superior Court. Prosecutors say the charges are the result of a lengthy investigation into allegations of misappropriation and theft of client funds. The Real Estate Commission in 2011 alleged that Ziegler and Stone misused money in a trust fund they were managing to pay for personal use and remodeling of properties they owned, as well as making illegal loans to clients. Ziegler and Stone were co-owners of the now-defunct real estate brokerage firm Alliance Realty. Both men entered not guilty pleas on Friday to charges of misapplication of property and theft. And a missing 13-year-old Anchorage boy who ran away over the weekend has been found. Police said Sunday that Corey Bird was found alive and well. No more details were provided. The boy left his home between 8 and 8:30 Saturday evening. He was wearing a red shirt, red and black shorts, and one black high-top Nike shoe with red bottoms. Police said they were worried for the boy's safety because of his age and lack of proper clothing for cold weather in the Anchorage area. They thanked the public for their help in finding the boy.